This is nothing to do with the message, but I read this and I thought it tickled me, so I thought I'd read it out to you. There once was an island kingdom whose people were fabulously wealthy. Even though they could have afforded to live anywhere they wanted, tradition dictated that they stay on their tiny island. Eventually, their king became frustrated and called a meeting of the tribal elders. He said he wanted them to figure out a way he could enjoy his wealth and stay within the traditional guidelines. After much consideration, the elders suggested he build a magnificent throne. When he objected, there was not enough room in the hut for a throne, the elders suggested they call in an engineer to solve the problem. Soon, the king's tiny hut was rigged with an elaborate system of ropes, pulleys. He could lower a huge throne from using during the day, and at night, he would haul the throne up and lower his bed. This was truly the best of both worlds for the king. Unfortunately, after a few months of constant use, the ropes frayed, and one night the throne slipped and came crashing down on the king, killing him. The wise men of the island recognized a lesson in this experience and added to the lure of their people this statement: People who live in grass houses should not stow thrones. It tickled me. Last time I was here, I spoke on the dimensions that we have within the kingdom, and until we realize what we have in the kingdom, we cannot really function as the way that Christ wants us to function, because who is limiting the church at the moment universally? Who's limiting the church? It's the people without the realization of what they have in the kingdom. Because if you realize what we have in the kingdom, suddenly Christianity is not just something that we do on a Sunday, but it becomes something very exciting, something that's absolutely brilliant. And I have some exciting news this morning that when I was thinking about this, it was a two-parter, and I thought, well, I'm going to bring it in. With what I hear on the notices and what you're going to go through, this message, I believe this morning, is for your church. And so I want you to really take on board what I'm going to say this morning. And I've got some really exciting news. That when we are saved, we have the ability to be used by the Holy Spirit. When you think that the Holy Spirit is the power of God, because we have God the Father is a God of judgment, we have Jesus, the God of love, and then we have the Holy Spirit, the God of power. That's breaking it down in broad terms. And this morning, because we are born again Christians, we have the ability to use the Holy Spirit, or be led by the Holy Spirit, to be a vehicle for the Holy Spirit. See, in Galatians 5:22-23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. That part in Galatians is the DNA of Jesus within us, the DNA of God within us. So, as soon as we become Christians, we're born into the kingdom, we carry the DNA of Jesus. And when you think that we carry the DNA of Jesus, Jesus said, you will do greater things than I. Because he was God, so everything was possible. But by faith, and by the leading of the Holy Spirit, this morning we can function as Jesus functioned. So how do we start, and this is kingdom thinking, how do we start to think like the Father? The first thing is we have to see things as God sees them. Not the way that man sees things, but the way that God sees them. And in God, God sees growth. Always growth. And it says, God sees growth. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So this morning, with that verse in mind, what do we need to do to change? What do I need to do to change? What do you have to do to change? And why I'm talking about change, I'm talking about the way that we see things, the way that we think of things. Do we see the way that Jesus sees things? Do we see the way that God sees things? Yes, we have the fruits of the Spirit with all of the that I've just read out. But that's only the surface. Because when we start thinking the way that God thinks, with those, where are we? We love. How many of us really know? I hear people saying on the phone, and they're talking about, you know, I love you. They finish with, I love you. They're talking about I love you. You know, always this, you know, that you see on the TV, oh, I love you. You know, I mean, that's a superficial love. That's not the love that God's talking about. The love that God's talking about is the people who are lost that we have to win. The love that we have. There was a friend of mine who was a pastor in the West Midlands, and he was a man who I always thought he was off his trolley a little bit, because he would put a mask on and drive around, you know, with a funny old mask to make people look. And one day he was a bit worried about the church. He was pastoring, and he dressed up in old clothes. He put a mask on of an old man, and he came into the church like this, sat down in the front, and people were looking at him because he made sure he was smelly. He made sure he looked like a tramp, and he sat there, and the leader of the service was leading the service and getting a bit worried because he said, I'm sorry, the speaker hasn't turned up yet, and I'm not quite sure where the pastor is, but we'll carry on, you know, being positive, carrying on. And then when it came to looking for the speaker, the guy leading said, sorry, the speaker's not here, and the pastor, who's dressed up as a tramp, got up, walked to the front, and took off his mask. He said, never ever again do you come into the church and ignore somebody who is smelly, dirty. And he was making the point that we love the unclean. The God's love. That we love the unclean. And so it doesn't matter how dirty the church becomes, and I mean that not in the thing, but in the people that are coming in the church, you have to love them. You have to show you have to show them that you really care. And it's surprising when you show people that you really care how they change. In the Midlands, we had a girl that came into the church. She had safety pins hanging down from her ears, and she had things in her nose, and she had purple, pink, funny hair, and She was dressed like an over goth, if you know what I mean. And she came in, and nobody in the church judged her the way she dressed. They just showed her love. A year later, over the year, you should gradually see the safety pins disappearing. Gradually, over the time, you could see that she was changing. And when she got saved, she was, all the goth things that she believed in had gone completely. And she asked for, she wanted a job in Canada as a nursery nurse. And when she got the job, well, can you imagine if she'd gone for that job, dressed as a goth, she wouldn't have got it. See, but the love that the church showed that girl suddenly brought transformation. And that love has to be within the church all the time. The ungodly, you love them. When Jesus came into my life, he changed me. When Jesus came into your life, has he changed you? That's a challenge this morning. Has he changed you? I know he's changed me because I was somebody who, quite honestly, could have killed without a conscience. If Christ hadn't come into my life, I'd have been in prison today. But he changed me. Where I didn't have love for people, I had love for people. Because Christ brings a change within us. And therefore, and when I think, had God got a sense of humour, if I had, because I was a professional musician, if I had to go into church to play within the church service or anything, I used to tell the vicar the dirtiest jokes I could possibly think of. To try and make him, you know, sort of, it was just my way of rebellion, I guess. And so, when the time come, and I got saved, God led me into being a pastor. Can you see the sense of humour in that? God led me into being, and I had to take the abuse that other people, that I was giving to other people. But praise God. I love God because he's got a sense of humour. He saved me, and more importantly, the biggest laugh is, he saved you. Yeah? Can you imagine, if we start thinking like God, the changes we can make? Remember the story of the five loaves and the couple of fish that God had, that the disciples had? And Jesus got hold of these things, and there's 12 disciples with their baskets, and he breaks up the fish and the bread, and he puts a bit in each basket. Now the disciples, now this is the way I would think, and I guess you might think, you look in this, in the basket, and there's a fin. You think, what's this going to do? Or there's just a little bit of bread. And Jesus blessed it. Now, if they were thinking as Jesus would be thinking, they'd look at it and say, praise God. This is going to be magic. This is going to be wonderful. This is going to be glorious. And they went up, and he gave the fin to the person. They dipped into there, and they brought out a fish and a piece of bread. Went up to the next person, and so on, and so on, and so on. Now, can you imagine what the disciples must be thinking when they come back and they've got 12 baskets that are overflowing and they can give to other people? That's kingdom thinking. Thinking the way Jesus. He didn't see the smallness, he saw the growth. He saw the development. He saw the possibilities. And this morning, you see, God doesn't see what can be, he sees what is. And we tend to think, well, God could do this. Yes, we know God can do it, but God will do it. That's the difference. Yes, I'm praying and God will do it because that's His word. And so if we listen to His word and we believe His word, then we will say, in the name of Jesus. This is something that we are last Sunday, at the light, turning on the lights at St. Neots. We were giving out candy floss with invitations to the carol service. And at 12 o'clock, the candy floss machine was not working. They tried everything they could. And I don't say this as a boast, I say this as encouragement. Because I wanted God to have the glory. I went out to the machine and I said, in the name of Jesus, work. They started putting the stuff in. Suddenly we have candy floss. See, thinking as Jesus thinks, not the way we think, because we limit what God can do by he can do this, but it's what he will do. But when you think there were 5,000 men there, don't forget those children, those wives, and there's other people. So there were more than 5,000 people there. Jesus took the loaves and he gave thanks, distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. As much as they wanted. How much this morning do we want Jesus to move in our lives? Isaiah 54:2 says this. And if we're thinking the way Jesus thinks, how many of you can see people in these seats? Spiritually. How many people can you see filling the seats? How many more seats can you see need to put out? Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Spare not the length of your cords and strengthen your pegs. That's kingdom thinking. How big is this church going to be? How many people is this church going to have? See, thinking the way Jesus thinks, it's growth. Now Jesus, yes, the church was added to, but it was multiplied. Now, both of those is growth. You can add, you can multiply. It's growth. And Jesus wants, and I believe Jesus wants this church to grow. Because as I was listening to the notices and what your plans are and the rest of it, I realised that this is a tiny word for you guys. For you to take on board, not what is our plans, but what is God's plan. And we're doing something at St. Neots for outreach, and we've got to get together on the 15th of this month, and we're not making any decisions about outreach until we've prayed it through. Prayer is the lifeblood of the church. So before any decisions the church has to make, it has to be prayerfully made. And when it's prayerfully made, the church will be unanimous, not with ideas coming from everywhere else, but the mind, because it's this, the way that Jesus thinks. You'll be thinking all the same thing. Then you know that's the direction of God. Kingdom thinking is seeing growth. God can only see growth in life. When Jesus said the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. You see, you start thinking of the small. But the mustard tree grows to something big. You don't have to think of anything big, you just have to think to the way Jesus thinks. And it was kingdom thinking that Jesus was the principle of the mustard seed. Kingdom thinking is believing. You see, we read in scripture that if we believe something without doubt, it will come. How many of us pray, and there's always, well, maybe. Seeing as God sees. That's the principle of kingdom thinking. Because if we start seeing how God sees things, we start thinking the way that God thinks. We carry his DNA, so that we should be thinking. And we cannot function as dynamic Christians without thinking and seeing the way that God thinks and sees. God does not see what was, because I'm so glad about that. You see, because if he was seeing what I was before, I wouldn't have a future in him. God does not remember the past. So today can be a new beginning. Today can be a new start. Today, we're coming into the end of 22, we're going to go into 23. 23 can be a dynamic year for this church. It can be an exciting year for this church. But only if the church thinks as God thinks, with kingdom thinking. See, God does not see I can't. It's not in his thinking, I can't do this. And when it comes down to we're told to go into all the world and make disciples first. So discipleship is the key. Because as I say, it's better to make disciples than win souls. Because a disciple will naturally win souls. But if you labour on the witness side, you will end up with stillbirths in the kingdom. Because the discipleship is the important part. And when we become true disciples of God, we then start thinking of God the way that God thinks. So when you're asked to do something that's out of your comfort zone, as a pastor I used to love taking people out of their comfort zones. I used to love going up to people and saying, they'd sit in the congregation and I'd say, next week you're going to preach. Oh, I can't do that. Well, doesn't the Bible say, for those that love him, you can do all things? So even if you've only got a few sentences, it doesn't matter. I can always pick up the slack. You see, push people. God wants to take us out of our little ruts that we're in, and wants us to take us out of the rut. He wants to take us to somewhere beyond we'd ever imagine we could be. God does not see what could be. God does not want it what it could have been. Sorry, God does not see what it could be, but God does not also see what it has been. So this morning, church, I want us to think as God thinks. And this may be, you know, that if my people, and I'm paraphrasing now, if my people will humble themselves and pray. So the first part in the humbling themselves is realizing that we're all sinners falling short of God's glory. Every one of us are sinners. Because God saved us, doesn't mean that we're saved and once saved, always saved. It means we're on a journey. And this morning, church, as we're on a journey, or as you're on a journey and I'm on a journey, my own journey, you're on your own journey, you have to look at the part, do I need to repent? And so before I close the service, I just want us to bow our heads, and you know what you need to repent of. Maybe I haven't functioned as I should. Maybe God's called me to do something and I haven't done it. Maybe God is asking me to be stretched and I won't be stretched. Maybe God is, I don't know, but you know what's in your hearts. You know what you need to repent of this morning. There was a lady that lived in Bigglesway, an old lady, and she said, every night I repent of the things I might have done, and every morning I repent for the things I might have dreamt with. See, she wanted to be in that position. And so the place that we start is in repentance. And when we start in repentance, then we can start to grow. It might be that some of us have to go back to where we went wrong, and we have to start again. But the great thing is, God won't remember what you did yesterday in repentance. He sees the future. He sees something exciting for you guys. And it's only you guys that will limit him. So let's just bow our heads in prayer. And I just want us to just think. So I want you to do business with God this morning. Father, as every heart is open to you this morning, I pray, Father, that you'll speak into the heart. If the heart needs cleaning, clean it. Lord, if the mind needs to be changed, change it. Lord, we ask this morning that you bring us to a place where we can think the way that you think. We can see the way God sees. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen.
Amen.